Some of you are old enough to remember these times. Probably you've probably been to churches that didn't have air conditioning. And when we grew up in Kentucky, well, there's still a lot of churches in Kentucky that either don't have it or they don't want to turn it on. All right. And so what that reminded me of was some of those old-timey revivals and sitting and sweating and being what just being in the house of the Lord. And you know, we live in a very restless culture. There's probably at times, there may have been times this morning, you felt restless. You feel unsettled. You kind of wonder what's really going to happen next. And you'd like a little bit more certainty, but then you're also fearful that if you gain the certainty, you might not like it. So I believe we live in a culture and times where people are quick to make changes without finding out the details, the ramifications, and really understanding what they're really motivated by. And I believe one of the things as believers that we struggle with when it comes to being, being restless ourselves is this. Have we lost sight that our Creator created us on purpose, for a purpose, with purpose? And while that may look a lot differently to each one of us, is at this moment, July the 7th, 2019, God is speaking to us out of love, because He loves, for love, to do something in us so He can do something through us. And this very moment, each one of us in this room are surrounded by people who are separated from God by making a choice for a variety of reasons. But one of the greatest privileges we have as being a follower of Christ is to embrace how God is speaking to us and how He wants to use us in other people's lives. And probably, most importantly, probably people to some degree that are very dear to us, very important to us, that you have probably cried over and cried out to God many times. God save, God come, God speak, God move. And this morning, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to read from the Bible to see what God says to us. So as I begin this morning praying for us, if you have a Bible in some form, there's a book called Acts, New Testament, chapter 10. I felt like God told me this week, instead of worrying about trying to put the whole chapter on a PowerPoint, felt like He said, why don't you just read my Word out loud? God's Word is powerful when read out loud. There are Bible reading vigils that happen all around the world on a regular basis where they read from start to finish the Bible, taking turns, or 24-hour Bible readings. God's Word is powerful. In fact, if you don't read the Word of God out loud, I'd encourage you to do it. And I don't mean listen to it out loud necessarily. You read it out loud. You declare it. In my journal every morning, I declare something that I believe God is speaking to me for the day. And sometimes it can be something as simple as, today I'm going to declare I'm going to be a good steward of your blessings. The next day might be, I'm going to declare today I'm going to be faithful no matter if I feel like it or not. So let's pray, and I'm going to read to us chapter 10 of Acts. Father, Your Word is awesome. Your Word is life-changing. Your Word is truth. Bless the reading of Your Word in the presence of Your body. But maybe, Father, my cry in my heart this morning is this. We might be reading it in these walls, but may it impact the city of Savannah as we join brothers and sisters around the Lowcountry area reading Your Word. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people, prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in to say to him, Cornelius! And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing him, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat.
But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up all at once into heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send you for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and he went away with them, and some of their brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I am too a man." As he talked with him, he went in and he found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone other from another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked, 'Why have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.' So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And we are witnesses all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him, for he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the appointed one by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit was poured out on even the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. May God bless the reading of his word. This morning, we continue a series on mission. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about evangelism. I know that all of us in this room have probably heard 10 dozen sermons on evangelism. But also, I know for myself, at times, there's a disconnect between that word and what it means and seeing it worked out in my life. To see God use me in the lives of other people, especially those that we would deem far from God. And so this morning, as we use this story of Peter and Cornelius on this timely divine meeting between these two men who did not know each other existed only days before this appointment with God, I want to encourage you this morning. Who is God already stirring on your heart? Who is God asking you to begin to think about, to reach out to? And it may be somebody that you've reached out to many, many times. But how is God speaking to you afresh this morning? What is he imparting to you, fresh anointing or fresh revelation to about this morning? How is God stirring? How is God giving you a new burden for somebody or somebodies? Because this morning, as we think about us churches, we're the ones that have the privilege of sharing the good news. And I spoke to you earlier about how we live in a very restless culture. And I believe one of the ways that we struggle with being restless ourselves, church, is that if we don't see fruit from some party that we're investing in, that somebody we're praying for, maybe for months or even years, we're apt to just quit and give up.
And therefore that gives in to a lie that God has given or quit or given up. And God will never quit or give up or stop pursuing people out of His love and in His mercy and grace. And so this morning, as we look at this story of Peter and Cornelius, Peter the Jew, the apostle, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, the hated Romans, the man that Peter would never even talk to if he met him, would never even go near him. God has a sense of humor. And the reason why I tell you that early on is be ready, because God may challenge you this morning with somebody in your life, and you might be like, but God, don't you know them? Don't you know? I've tried. Don't you know I never have anything? God, don't you understand them? And God might be saying, I understand them and I understand you because I created both. And my heart cries out that both of you will be reconciled to me. So this morning, God's going to challenge us. God's going to speak to us. God's going to reveal some things. And I think this story is a perfect way to do it. As we see this story, it takes place in Acts 10, like I said. And after Acts 1 and 2, there's some years that have gone by now. The new church in Jerusalem has been established. And Peter's moved over to Joppa. And he's over there, and that's kind of where his ministry is going on right now. And he's just doing what he's doing every day. Calling out to God, going up on the rooftop, praying. Probably those people in his household he was discipling and telling about all that he had seen and heard through Jesus. And that was his center of ministry. And then about 30 miles north, a little town called Caesarea, here was the Roman centurion just doing his daily activity. Just doing what he knew to do. He wasn't adding or subtracting. He was glorifying God by giving generously to the Jews. Isn't it interesting that a Roman centurion may have not understood everything, but he knew this, that somewhere in the past someone had spoke and said, you bless the Jews and God will bless you. He knew whether it be one of those strong urges in his heart or a revelation given him in his heart or somebody had spoken to him, hey, these are the chosen people of God. You mistreat them, you curse them, and get ready because God's going to drop the hammer. And so his generosity to people had impacted a lot of people. He had been given a voice because he had been blessed with little and had been faithful with little, and God was getting ready to bless him with much. You see, this story of Peter and Cornelius is about two men who encountered the living God in a fresh new way that they had not yet to that point. So this morning, maybe that's where you are. Are you at a place where you need to encounter the living God in a fresh new way? Has the relationship kind of become stale? Just be honest. Has it become stale? Has it become kind of rote? Yeah, you read the Bible, you pray, but the truth is there's no conscious awareness of either one. You read it, you're done. You prayed, you're done. That most of your prayers sound more like you're doing a children's blessing of the foo than there's any heart behind it. This morning, church, let's get with God. Join God in what He's doing in our individual lives as we walk through this story. So my first point is simply this. Evangelism takes preparation and perspiration. Preparation and perspiration. Those boys sitting over there like to make fun of me because in my car I carry, I'm not exaggerating, at this moment in my car outside there are 7 t-shirts in the car. All right? And the only thing you need to know is I'm well acquainted with perspiration. Okay? You see, I change shirts after I've sweated just to catch the next layer of sweat to change shirts again. Okay? And by the way, I'm not just talking about in July. It can be in January. Okay? When I'm at the Y riding their little exercise bike, typically the bike has had a shower by the time I'm done. Okay? Because see what it says in Acts 10:9 is this. Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. He didn't just think, hope, or talk about doing. He participated in the act of going to a place to hear what God had for him, to prepare for him what God had next. And that he did the do to be ready to do the next thing. Are you approaching God with an openness to be taught by the Holy Spirit? God's Word never changes, but His revelation is fresh. Your understanding of Him can become expanded, can have a depth to it that it's never had. Evangelism takes some preparation and it takes some perspiration. I could add to this too. Sometimes it takes some tears, some anguish, some just being honest and saying, God, I don't even know how to pray for this person anymore. God, I don't even know how to pursue the next thing you have in my life to impact the world that we live in. Preparation, perspiration. Is God's Word alive to you? Is your relationship with God right now alive? Or you become restless and you've decided, you know, I'm not going to really read the Word, spend time in the Word, listen for God's voice, invest in that effort because I never really get anything out of it. Do not succumb to that lie. Do not succumb to that lie. Peter daily, throughout the day, as a good Jew that he was, would go up on that rooftop, flat roof, probably outside stairs, beautiful, overlooking the Mediterranean probably, in the city of Joppa. By the way, the city of Joppa, did God send anybody from the Old Testament from Joppa? Did anybody? Okay. Jonah was sent from the same city. But Jonah decided that he would not listen to God's voice, that he had a better plan. You see, as part of preparation is God's doing that saying that we say a lot around here. God's doing something in us so He can do something through us. You see, I told you it was about around 10 years between the early church being established and this story I just read to you. Would Peter have listened to God at 7 years in? At 5 years in? I don't know. But I know this. Cornelius responded to God's vision with this. What is it, Lord? Peter responded to God's vision with this. No, Lord. Doesn't that kind of sound like Peter? No, Lord. No, Jesus, we can't go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify you there. No, Jesus, you can't do that. No. Cornelius, hands open. Peter, fist clenched. No, Lord. No, Lord. That doesn't fit my picture of you, God. Cornelius, God, I don't understand. But I know you're up to something. I assure you of this. God is up to something right here in Savannah, Georgia, today, July 7th, 2019. And I also assure you of one other thing, but I'm not going to steal Pastor Rick's thunder. Next week, he's talking about spiritual warfare and evangelism. The evil one is up to scheming and planning and plotting and doing all kinds of things too today. But we're not going to succumb. We're not victims. We're victors. We're more than conquerors. So how about your life? Taking some preparation and perspiration, because then it says in Acts 10, 23, the next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. 30-mile hike, 30-mile journey. Don't know what the weather was like, don't know what the day held, but you know what I would love to have overheard? A group of men, Jew and Gentile, walking down the road together. Now listen, they would have traveled the same path that other people traveled, right? Can you imagine meeting people going, what are they doing with them? Because, see, they didn't, not only would they have had probably different accents, they would have looked different, they would have dressed different, they may have even had a different stride, literally. They would have maybe even walked physically different. So that one day together, what was God still doing? He was preparing for the meeting of God's divine appointment in Cornelius' household. So God doesn't even waste that process of from Joppa to Caesarea. So when you think God is just getting you through something to get you the next thing, God is in full teaching, revelation, in party mode right then, right there. He is in full-on God mode. Evangelism takes some preparation and it takes perspiration. Next one. Evangelism impacts our vision of God. Of course it does. Acts 10, 34, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. By this point, he's arrived and he's seen Cornelius' household. He's seen all the people that would have gathered. By the way, the Italian regiment, basically Cornelius and a bunch of Italian soldiers were hanging out in Caesarea. And even though in our mind, if you look at modern day Caesarea, it does. It sits very close to right there on the Mediterranean. It is beautiful. I guarantee you something, Cornelius and his cohorts would not have said, I get to go to Israel to serve the emperor. It would have been like, I got to go. God had a surprise for him just because of where he had placed him.
God has a surprise for us so often where He has placed us. You know what the surprise is? He's already been working there. He's already been moving there. His presence has gone ahead of us. His revelation is being given when we arrive. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. I see it. I want to give you a little phrase for you, okay? Peter had to align himself so he could be assigned himself. Alignment brought Peter into this assignment. Up on that rooftop, crying out to God. Crying out probably for his nation. Crying out, what am I going to do with all these people? And God's like, I'm going to expand your vision of me, Peter. I'm going to expand the vision of how I can work. And what you thought you seen was awesome, get ready, big boy, because I'm getting ready to show you a whole lot more. We're crying out that God doesn't just move in one person. We're crying out that God moves in the multitudes. And that we're crying out for the Holy Spirit to just move. And I'm talking about right now, right here. We may be moving our way or moving ourselves back to Georgetown. I know Dusty refers to it as the hub a lot. I've started referring to it as Jerusalem. Kat and I lived in Jerusalem since 91. Okay? That's actually being serious. You don't laugh at the funny stuff, but you'll laugh at that one, right? All right. Anyway, we've lived there a long time in a lot of different ways. We've seen people come and go. And a lot of you have lived there for a long time. God never has forgotten about those people, just like He hasn't forgotten about the people that live around this building. So we're joining God in the now. You see, Peter didn't say to those guys, tomorrow's a better day, or I wish you had shown up yesterday. Peter said, you're here now, we better get going because God's up to something right now that we've been invited to join Him in. But I got to take off my blinders and I've got to quit monkeying around with my poor, pitiful excuses. I got to quit being so restless that I'm missing what God's doing and I got to get busy joining Him. Evangelism impacts our vision of God. But have you aligned yourself to be used by God in whatever the assignment He may have before you? Because this was a big deal. It was a huge deal for Peter to show up at this guy's house. In fact, in Rome today, there's this part about the story where Cornelius bows at Peter's feet. And Peter says, no, I'm a man, get up. If you were to go visit in the city of Rome today, there's a huge statue of the Apostle Peter. And people from all over the world show up. You know one of the first things they do? They kiss the feet of the statue. That's literally what they do. They kiss the feet of the statue. We don't worship man. We worship the one true living God. He is the all-powerful. He's the almighty. And He's all-knowing. He's the one that's up to work in the earth today. We're joining the living God. Not man's idea, not man's suggestion, not somebody who had a good day, and they thought, man, we can do everything now. No. We're pressing on through the good, the bad, and we're moving forward. Perception impacts your reception. And the reason why I give you that phrase, it's not a point, is the fact that when Peter shows up, I don't know what his expectations were, because God was already teaching him and showing him things. But my point to you this morning is this. Impact our vision of God. Is God trying to expand your vision of Him? Or are you trying to stay in that sweet spot of called complacency? Not God contentment, but complacency. Allow God to expand your vision of Him. And the third one is simply this. Evangelism is more about your availability than your ability. All Peter did was showed up and shared the gospel. He didn't say, I have to go learn Italian first. He didn't say, let me go check this guy a little bit more because how do I know I'm not being tricked? He was walking into the lion's den if there would have been a trick, right? He could have been deceived, right? But back to preparation. Evangelism is more about your availability than your ability. And He ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of all, the living and the dead. I encourage you to think about many things this morning. But your availability, have you availed yourself to be used by God on God's terms? Have you availed yourself to be used by God on God's terms? And I'm not sure totally how you justify or reconcile that question. But I believe that you know what God's stirring in your heart. I believe you know what God's been saying to you. I love what it says in Ephesians 3:20. It's not going to be up there. I'm just going to read it to you. It's from the Message. Listen very carefully. God can do anything, you know. far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. God just isn't calling us to do anything. He's invited us. He's commanded us. He's desirous of us joining Him in what He's doing. So evangelism isn't about your ability, but your availability as much. And He's given us the right, the privilege to tell the world about Him. But I would think this for you this morning. When's the last time you took personal inventory of your relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ? Does it excite you? Does it bring you joy? Or is there struggles in your life right now that you're like, I can't be aware of the presence of God. I want to, I long to, I need to, but I'm just not getting the job done. That the living God He preached is the living God that still exists right here, July the 7th, 2019. He's alive and doing very well. He is moving. He is doing great things in the earth, and we praise Him and we honor Him. One of the things about your availability and your ability is this. Who have you surrounded yourself with to join you in this pursuit of mission on being on evangelism? You see, this isn't a solo act. Peter didn't just load up the suitcase and then travel up to Caesarea by himself. He said, I got to take people with me. What does that do? I think we call it discipleship. They got to see what Peter did in an environment that they probably had never been in either. So part of your being available, are you allowing yourself to be available to others that you need to be teaching, discipling, mentoring, growing? Because Peter didn't just do this in a vacuum. And I love the fact that Cornelius, I just picture a house full of people and that they're hungry and they're wanting and they're in this great desire in their hearts to say, what is this man going to tell us? And I believe that's one of the reasons why we see immediate return, where Peter comes at the end of his little sermonette and immediately people are like, yes, the truth, the love, just the presence of God overwhelmed that room, and they couldn't stop it. Couldn't stop it. What's the cry of your heart today? Mission, evangelism, ability, availability, your vision of God. You wanted to put in the time to get prepared. You wanted to put in the time if it gets a little, has some work to it. Because one of the things I'll read this scripture to, it says in 2 Timothy 4, because this is the one we like to read a lot when it talks about being prepared. This is Paul to the Apostle Timothy towards the end of his life. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know what that's not saying? Try it one time, and if they receive it, you've done what you're supposed to do. It's not what it said. It says with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head at all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. I believe that's a good word for us today, church. Do what God is stirring. Don't hold back for tomorrow. God will give you freshness for tomorrow. He is imparting, He is gifting, He is calling right now in this moment. What is God showing you? I'll give you a few questions as we close. First one is this. How did God reach you through someone who was faithful to proclaim the good news? Are you a laborer or a consumer? You can't ignore what God keeps showing you. Can't ignore what God keeps laying on your heart. You may not have all the understanding that you need right now, but be faithful with what He's placed in your heart so far. Just be obedient. Just enjoy that God has chosen you and I to join Him in this mission. The now mission. One day, there'll be another place. But right now, this is the place. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice, let's be glad in it, but let's join Him in it. Let's pray. As I begin to pray, as you meditate upon these truths, the scripture that I read, the story that I read, By the way, I know we don't read a lot of scripture in large chunks on Sunday morning. You might need to go back and read that story 3 or 4 times. That'd be a good challenge for some of you. Read God's Word over and over today. Father, what are you saying? What are you showing us? Let's just meditate for a moment in silence. Our altar will be open. We'll be up here to pray with you. Grab somebody else. Cards and envelopes. Share the burden of life with others. Stir, Holy Spirit. Just stir in Jesus' name.
If you look this way for just a moment, quick reminder, tomorrow here, 2:30, Brother Charles' funeral. If you never had the privilege of meeting Brother Charles, you missed a blessing. Faithful man of God. Faithful man of God. Good sense of humor. The other thing is our little cookout Tuesday night at the property. For those who might be concerned about the heat, we have a giant fan that you can sit in front of, okay? All right, aircraft prop, and Dusty will be running his truck, his air conditioner, and you can sit inside his truck if you get too hot. So I'm going to pray for us, and just encourage you to continue to listen to what God says today. And the places you might go, one on purpose and one on accident, pay attention. What are you really there for? Lord, I thank you that you have good works for us. God, I thank you that we have been created to do good works. And God, I thank you for the gift of salvation to be free. Praise you for that. May it impact us and give us a longing and a desire to impact others. Protect us as we leave this place, Father. We are more than conquerors, but we acknowledge we have an enemy, but we come under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you.